What if an investor put $1 billion into an account and then authorized you to manage that account? You know, authorized you to be the manager of that account. What would you do? You know, first of all, you'd probably say, I'm going to check this guy out and see what his background is, what his business plans are, that kind of thing. Then you'd make sure to stay in touch with him. You'd want to make sure to stay in touch. He's put this into an account, but he's gone overseas. Okay, you're the one that's managing this account, and so you're going to need his guidance on transactions. You're going to stay in touch with him, and you're not going to be afraid. If you've got $1 billion in the account, you're not going to be afraid that one of your checks is going to bounce. I don't think, unless you're writing too big of a check. And then you're not going to worry that he's not going to come back for his investment. You're not going to worry about that. Well, we have a deposit in heaven, and Jesus is both the investor and he is also the deposit. Now, if you think in those terms in this message that I'm going to give, Jesus is the investor, but he's also the deposit. And he's authorized us to draw on his heavenly resources in the bank of heaven. That's what I've entitled this, our deposit in the bank of heaven. To draw on those heavenly resources for his ongoing business down here on the earth, his business plans. He has a lot of business plans for this earth. And we're part of those business plans now because we're managing the account. So if you get that picture, it's going to help you through the whole deal here. But you know, Jesus, his objective, his business plan, his business objective is to spread his kingdom globally. His business has an outreach that's global in its dimensions. And his Holy Spirit has been given to us to guide us in making heavenly investments. Isn't that sort of cool, that whole illustration? That's just exactly what the ascension did. Jesus ascended to put that deposit of himself in heaven. He's the investor and he's the deposit, so that we can draw upon him in doing the work we need to do down here until he returns, until the day he comes back to close all the personal and corporate accounts. He's going to do it. When he comes back, all the accounts are going to be closed. No more transactions. You know, I'm just excited about this illustration. The Lord gave it to me a long time ago. I've reworked it here a little bit, but what makes our earthly deposit in heaven valid? What validates that earthly deposit in heaven? Well, Jesus is not only a legitimate earthly investor, he's not only a legitimate earthly investor, but he can run this business legitimately from a foreign place, from another location. Today, they call this, when computers are doing, computer people, they're working remote. Have you ever heard of that? You say, well, you're at home at your job? Yeah, I just work through the computer. It's a remote. Jesus is remote in one sense. He's remote. He's the investor and the deposit. He's in heaven, and he's working remotely down here on the earth. But at the same time, through his Son, God has invested heavenly deposits in us, and that's what our currency is. When we say, what is our currency? It's a heavenly investment. Now, here's what the investment is. Why do we say that Jesus is a legitimate earthly investor? It's because he's a natural born citizen of earth. He was supernaturally conceived, but he was naturally born here on the earth. And so he's a natural born citizen of earth. He can do business on earth. But this is what this says on in John 1:14, when it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He's a human being on earth. He became a human being to live on earth. And he's taken his humanity back to heaven. And this is what it says in this passage that's so amazing. The currency that we have in Jesus. What is the currency? And this is what it is. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Grace and truth is the currency. And we've got it. And we have access to it. More than $1 billion worth of grace and truth. Now, while grace and truth are now a heavenly deposit, because Jesus is up there, he was full of grace and truth, he's up there, they remain our earthly currency for two really solid reasons. Here's why they remain our currency down here. Because Jesus, he lives there in a resurrected human body. He still is human. He's not changed his humanity, except now it's glorified, which we will have glorified humanity someday. But right now, Jesus is the only one who has that glorified human body. And his eternal humanity validates his heavenly currency down here on the earth. His eternal humanity. That's why the incarnation is so important, and it's occupied my, or preoccupied my mind down through the history of my life since I was in grad school. I thought, the incarnation is amazing. And there's so many things in it, but one of it makes our currency valid. This grace and truth that's in Jesus, it's down here. Because Jesus, while he's living up there, still full of grace and truth, he's also living within us. He lives in two places at one time. He is up there in heaven, physically, but he, through the Holy Spirit, has become spiritually resident within us. So this currency works. His indwelling presence is here for this earthly kingdom business that he's running. He's running it remotely, but he's also doing it personally, right on target here inside of us. You know, we take Jesus wherever we go. Wherever we go, that business is gone. We're on business. And it's interesting, it says, he brings heaven down to earth. He brings the business of heaven down to earth, and he answers the prayer that he taught us to pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the fulfillment of that prayer that we pray all the time when we pray that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We why should we as Christians be so excited and be concentrating on this idea of the ascension? You know, because there's a special day that we sort of missed. We passed it up a little bit a while ago, called Ascension Sunday. Why is it so important, Ascension? Ascension Day? Because that's when our deposit was placed in heaven. And it's like it made the connection. And this deposit, this, it's not just the payment for our sins. If we just see it as the payment for our personal sins, we are having sort of a narrow vision of this whole business. This is a cosmic business. It is his presence in heaven, his human presence. Remember what a human presence is. It's an earthly thing. Humanity has always been an earthly thing. But now there's an earthly presence in heaven, and the original reason for earthly presence here on the earth was to rule the earth, to put it under dominion, and to organize it and get it going. Well, we've done a bad job at that because we failed right at the very beginning. But Jesus has come to restore that, and he's coming back to bring a new heaven and a new earth. And it's like he's restoring all things, the entire the redemption of the entire creation. So this is a billion dollar account. No. You take a $1 billion account, if you had it right now, and you compared it to what we have, it's nothing. It's a drop in the bucket compared to the divine assets that we can draw upon through Christ's deposit of himself in heaven. Prayer is our checkbook. Think about that. You can carry it around with you all the time. Just make sure you take your checkbook with it. What's that? Prayer. Prayer is your checkbook. And it allows us direct access 24/7. I mean, anytime you need to write a check in prayer. It, you can make a withdrawal on this, on these assets, this wealth that Christ has purchased for us by the cross. Prayer is our checkbook. Think about that. You know, did I bring my checkbook? Well, it doesn't matter. You've got it with you all the time. You can pray 24/7. Our faith in Jesus brings heaven's authority for kingdom business to earth. That's why we've got the authority here on the earth. It's because we have Jesus. He's invested himself in heaven, and he's told us to go. Go where? Go in the earth and spread his kingdom. Spread kingdom business. Kingdom business. Investments. Well, what hinders us from drawing upon this this account? It's there. It's always there. And we have a checkbook. But what hinders us from this? Well, we may still have some cloudy thinking. And it's interesting because in verse 9 it says, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. A cloud hid them, hid him from their sight. With our divine investor now physically gone, we're left just holding a checkbook. Oh, it's a powerful checkbook, but it's still just a checkbook. He's gone. The investor is gone. And just as with his three servants, that's in his parable that he told, that's what they had. They had, in a sense, a checkbook. In Matthew 25, it said, here's what Jesus' parable says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. That sounds a little bit like what Jesus did with us, didn't it? Well, that last servant had some cloudy thinking about his responsibilities, and he ended up failing to invest the funds that he had received. But the other two, with a clear picture of their duty, what they were supposed to do, they invested wisely into business, kingdom business in this sense. And that's what we're to do. We're to take the deposits that's in heaven and invest it in the earth. Christ is that investment. We need to invest Christ in this earth. That is our business. That's what the business of Christianity really is. It's to invest Jesus down here. Now, another reason we might be hindered in drawing upon this account is that we might be too focused on God's direct intervention or his direct control over the aspects of his business that he has really commissioned us with. We keep thinking, well, God, do something. He says, I'm waiting on you to do something. I've given you the resources. I've told you what my business is. Now get on with it. You know? And yet we say, but I want you to do something. He is doing something. He's really doing it all because he's equipped us to do everything we do through the Holy Spirit. So it's like, okay, but we don't want to just... And I have to say here, this is a thing where sometimes we don't have things that we can do. It's beyond our control. It's totally in his jurisdiction. That's where we really draw upon his resources in those kinds of prayers. But there's other things he's already told us to do. We just have to obey. Or we have cloudy thinking. Because in a sense, if you get too focused on what God does directly, we will miss what he's entrusted us to do. And this is sort of interesting because they were looking intently up to the sky. Their focus was, wait a minute, he's gone. And they're looking, even though he's hidden now, they're looking up there. And it's interesting, there's a story about William Carey. He was a missionary to India. He wanted to go to this foreign field and serve the Lord. And there was a church leader that tried to discourage him. This is a terrible thing, but he tried to discourage him. He said, God didn't need William Carey. to go over and take the gospel to convert those heathen. He can convert those heathen himself in his own good time. That's really bad theology. But he was basing it on some kind of concept of predestination or something like that. And no, Carey had to take that gospel over there and tell them. But what is his good pleasure in his own good time? What's God's good pleasure? He's already told us his good pleasure, and that is to take the gospel and to spread it around. Take the good things that Jesus has given to us and to spread them throughout the earth. So if we do have cloudy thinking, if our thinking is a little bit cloudy, then God sometimes sends divine messengers. And I've told you, I've been reading all kinds of books about angels. I really like this because Billy Graham wrote a book about angels, and he said, you know, we haven't taught on this, and it's full in the Bible. So he wrote in 1970-something, he wrote a book on angels. It's excellent. It just kicks it from Genesis to Revelation. There's a lot of stuff on angels and just simple stuff that you need to know, but we don't know it because we just haven't been doing it as an evangelical church. But anyway, so angels, God sometimes, if we're seeing cloudy, sometimes God will send a divine message to get our vision not from staring up at the sky back down to earth where we're supposed to be. And so in verse 10 and 11 it says, suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking up into the sky? Why do you stand looking up? You know, despite sometimes that angels do miracles and they give different kinds of things, really they're, what the word angels means is messengers, and they have a message for us. And usually their message is, don't be afraid. That's the first thing they usually say. Don't be afraid. Have faith and get to business. Get down to business. That's their other statement. You know, that's the other thing. And that's what they were saying to them. You know, why you stand looking up into heaven? Jesus is going to come back again. And Jesus does want us to be prepared for his second coming. But we can't be prepared for it just by staring up into the sky. And that's what a lot of eschatological Bible prophecy teachers have written whole books about, staring up into the sky, looking for the signs of the Lord's return. Instead of being busy with what we're supposed to do down here in our personal lives and in our corporate lives as the church, as his servants, we must get busy in kingdom business, blessing this world, blessing our nation, blessing our neighborhoods, blessing our home, by investing the resources of grace and truth. And that's these wonderful assets that Jesus has still in Christ, investing grace and truth here on this earth. On earth as it is in heaven. Our faith in Jesus Christ gives us heaven's authority on earth. And if you don't remember anything in this message, remember that little sentence. Our faith in Jesus Christ gives us heaven's authority on earth. And how are we to administer God's investment plan? Well, in 11 and 12, it says this in these verses. The disciples acted upon this message that the angels had given them. This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem. Why? God had said, go wait for the power from on high. They quit staring up and they started preparing. They started preparing for kingdom business by returning to pray and wait for Pentecost. And God's primary purpose in all this investment is people. That's his primary objective, people. You guys remember, everybody's seen it probably so many times, It's a Wonderful Life. But do you remember in It's a Wonderful Life, the movie, when the Depression hit and everybody was... there was a run on the building and loan association. You know, the bank is where Potter had all the money, but the building and loan association. Everybody was running because the depression had hit. And George Bailey, he tried to make them understand. Here's what he said. I'll just quote it. No, you're thinking of this place all wrong, as if I had the money back in the safe. The money's not here. Your money is in Joe's house, right next to yours, and in the Kennedy house, and in Mrs. Macklin's house, and 100 others. You see, it's in people. That's where the investments are supposed to be, in people. Undue preoccupation, when we're just preoccupied with our own wants and needs. Now, we have wants and needs, so we need to make them known to God. But a preoccupation with just that, it can distract us from bringing God's light to others. Jesus had said, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." And we are participating stewards. We're not just participating in this business plan. We are stewards of the plan. We have the checkbook. We have access to all the funds of grace and truth that are in heaven. But we can't just have an individualistic attitude and vision in our lives. We have to look up and see God's bigger picture. God wants to bless everybody around us. He wants us to let our light shine. He said, "I am the light of the world." In fact, in this one scripture, John 9, he said, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." But now that he has ascended and we have a faith union with him and he's inside of our hearts, now we're the light of the world because Jesus is shining out through us to this world still. Redemption in Christ does have a lot of personal aspects to us, and those are very, very important. They're crucial that we have a relationship with Jesus. We've invited Christ into our heart. We have a personal relationship with him. We have a daily quiet time. I hope that everybody does, where you're reading the Bible, you're praying, you're reading good spiritual books, maybe about angels and stuff. That's what I'm doing lately. But I'm just saying you're maintaining your personal aspects of your kingdom business, you know, and you're keeping up on everything. But this calling that we have, it has dimensions that are cosmic, that are actually for us right now, they're global. They're all over this world. And the whole destiny is cosmic. It's universal around the whole heaven and earth. I mean, all the angelic realm and the earthly cosmic realm that stretches out 4 billion miles, 4 billion light years, I mean, in distance. That's how big the cosmic realm is. Think how big the angelic realm is. All of that is the destiny of what we're talking about. We're only starting little business. This billion-dollar thing, it's nothing compared to what is ahead when Jesus comes back and he resurrects us in new bodies, and that we are his redeemed people ruling with Christ, the King of the universe, over a new heaven and a new earth. Until that happens, in the meantime, until that happens, until our ascended Lord descends back to earth, we keep praying what? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's not just a prayer. It is actually our earthly investment. It's our earthly investment that we make in our own lives and in the lives of others. Jesus is our heavenly investor, and he's our heavenly deposit. And we are his earthly trustees of those assets of grace and truth. Our faith in him gives us heavenly authority. So, brothers and sisters, let's stand in that authority. Let's stand in that authority. Let's walk in that authority down here on the earth. Let's use that authority to bless people with the light of grace and truth that has been freely made available to us to give to others by God's investment of His Son. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for investing Your loving investment of Your Son in this world. Lord, You have purchased us, and that's part of Your investment too. And Lord, thank You that You have given us this authority and for the commission to go. Lord, help us to do that in our daily lives. Give us guidance here at Eschaton or anywhere else we go, that we are to be Your people everywhere, and we are to be business people, business-minded, because really, You're coming back, and we want to have invested everything that You've given to us. We want to have invested it wisely. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.